Live once again.
We're back.
Back. So yeah, what do you think of the workout?
Yeah, it was different. I'd never done 600s before. I think it was your first time too.
Mm-hmm.
So for the listeners, we did three 600s between, what was it, 155 and 2 minute pace that we were coming in around.
Yeah, we were right around there. The goal was between 2 minutes and 2:15, but yeah, we came under for most of them. But
yeah, the first one we went out way too fast.
Yeah,
I mean, we proved to be able to kind of stick around that pace, so it worked out. But mm-hmm. felt too fast while we were doing it. But yeah, it was good. It was fun, something different. And last week or two, I've probably done a little bit higher mileage. Did a couple like 3 mile runs, 1.7. So it was good to just do something more like interval based, shorter distances, a little more power,
mm-hmm.
which I know you've kind of been focusing on.
Yeah, definitely. It's crazy, like I've been seeing a lot of people posting their mileage, like not a lot of people, but a few people that I follow, like, on Instagram, like they'll be posting like 100 mile weeks. It's crazy. It's so many miles.
Yeah.
Like, it's just an insane amount of miles, like 15 to 20 miles a day. Or maybe it's like 10 miles a day and then they do longer runs, but just a lot of miles. I don't know.
Yeah, what do you think the most miles is that you've logged in a week? Cause you were training pretty hard in Spain.
I think like 35, maybe.
Yep.
And that was like a lot. Yeah, I think probably 35 max. And I don't know. I would like to, I mean, eventually, someday I would like to get up there, like try to do a 100 mile a week or something. Maybe that would be a challenge. But that's a lot to do. Like consistently, if you do that in week in, week out, it's a lot of mileage.
Yeah, it's definitely all about balance if you want to be able to do it over a sustained period. Mm. Like you said, though, I'd definitely be open to kind of testing it out once soccer's over. For me, just kind of looking ahead, I know, like, I just love being active, so I know I'm going to need kind of different challenges to do. So maybe at one point it'll be more of an endurance-style training. I'm interested in kind of learning some of, like, martial arts or boxing. So I think I'm going to be kind of just trying all kinds of different stuff and maybe throwing myself in to whatever discipline for a couple months and then hopping over to something else and kind of testing my hand at different stuff.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I really just wish there was like a fucking layout that you could do, like a sheet or something where you could just be like, click on this month and be like, type in this thing that I'm going to do and just have it laid out and not have to think about it. I kind of wish that was how it was. It would make things easier.
Yeah.
To set everything up before.
Yeah, for sure. You can waste a ton of time trying to plan stuff out. Luckily, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. Like, I know when we did the half marathon, you were able to find, like, a preset program, so that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it'd be nice to just be able to type in, like, your end goal and, yeah, have it, like, pre-populate, boom,
it gives custom you a made, little ready formula. To go. Yeah, yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be sick. But, I mean, yeah, it's just not the way it is. And I think that's a good thing, like, having, like, I'm sure there has been and will be plenty of times where I try something out and I hate it, but I'll probably learn something from it. So it's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Do you have any kind of objectives in mind, or either that or specific sports or disciplines that you're like, I want to get into and try?
Yeah, I definitely want to try out jiu-jitsu, for sure. I really like that. I think my body is kind of made to do that in a certain way, so that's something that I want to try eventually. I don't know when. Something I've been thinking about recently is I want to get into, well, I'm not, it's an idea. I'm thinking about possibly doing firefighting in the future. So that type of, I mean, it's not really a sport, but it is like a discipline. Like, it's basically when you're in a fire, it's basically like how much work you can do in a certain amount in a 10 minute period, say. Like, when you go in the house, how fast can you move? How much energy can you output? So, like, it's just like a, it's the same as like a all out max like rowing test, like that type of fitness it would be, I guess. So that, I mean, that's something that I wanted to try eventually down the road.
Yeah, that's an awesome goal. I mean, I didn't know you were interested in firefighting. I think that's sick.
Kind of a newer idea.
What made you kind of interested in that?
Actually, I'm in the process of getting my gun license right now. I was doing that with my friend, and hopefully it should come in within the next few weeks. But to do it, I had to go into the police station, like get my fingerprints and everything, and like hand in my application and stuff. And I just went in there and I was like, I just caught a good vibe. Like, I saw a bunch of the police officers and fire guys like walking around. Like, it seems like almost like a team vibe. Like they all have a common goal. They're all like fit guys who work really hard. They're like positive. They're trying to help people, and it's just like the fire department in my town's like really, it's like clean, like very modern. Like they have all the new technology, like all top level shit. It just seems like a cool place to be, and the schedule seems dope. Like it's like you work like 24 hours, you get 48 hours off, 24 hours, 48 hours off. So that's something that I could see myself doing, like instead of being in like an office job where it's like 8 hours a day, you go home, go back the next morning. Like it's a little bit different, and it's like really intense work. So
I could see definitely the schedule suiting you, because you're very much a guy like you talked about, you want to be all in, and then you need your time to recover. So I think the 24 hours in, 48 off would work
exactly,
well for you. I could see you banging that out. What talk more about the gun license thing, because I didn't know anything about that. What made you want to get one?
My buddy Pat, who I've been training with, he's been wanting to do it for a while because his grandfather had a gun and he passed away, and then he left that gun for Pat, but he hasn't been able to use it. So he wanted to do it, and then also my grandfather was, he's a veteran, he fought in Vietnam, and he's always kind of encouraged me to be about that. And he never got his gun license, even though he's like obviously a veteran and he knows how to use guns. So me, Pat, and my grandfather all took the basic certification course together, about a year ago, I think. And then, yeah, Pat and I think my grandfather applied for it like right away, like probably 6 months ago. And then Pat and I just applied for it like just about a month ago. So we're just waiting on like all the whole process to come in. And I don't know if I'm actually gonna use that license like to buy a gun or to shoot or anything, but I just wanted to have it for the future. Like, say my grandfather wanted to, we could go to the range together and like shoot. Or if in the future I wanted to get a gun or something, I could. I don't really know what I'm gonna do with it, but I just think it's a good thing to have, like, just in case. And to know how to handle a gun I think it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, that's dope. I mean, I have no experience with firearms. I'd definitely be open to learning, to going to the range, to getting the certification. What was like the training and the process to get certified?
It's like you start with the basic certification course, so it's just like a 6 hour course. I went to Mass Firearms in Holliston, and it's like you're in a classroom. The instructor's like, he's a gun geek. Like he knows everything there is to know about guns and all the laws. He runs through like all the laws. It's a lot of just like reading and listening. Honestly, a lot of it went over my head, just because it was a
Yeah,
long
there's so much
course.
to that.
The end of it was more like they have like practice guns. It's basically like a laser gun and a screen, and it's just to learn how to like pull the trigger, and aim correctly, set up your stance, all that stuff. And then he pulls out real guns, no ammo or anything, or it's like fake ammo, and you learn how to like use a revolver and then a regular like magazine, and he just shows you how like the loading. The way to load it, the way to cock it and pull the trigger and everything like that. And in the very end, you go into the actual range, and you get like, it's kind of stupid, honestly. Like, they file people in so fast, you get like 3 shots. So you walk up to the range, like the counter where they have the gun and the instructor, and it's just like, he gives you the gun. He's like, "You good? You ready?" And I'm like, "Yep." And it's just like, bang, bang, bang. And then you just put it down and walk away. It's like, you don't really get to think about it. But it's just like a very basic thing, like just to get you at least to know like what a gun feels like and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's dope. So from going through that process, how do you think about like the way people in this country like view guns? Because there's total extremes, right? There's gun enthusiasts, and then you'll find people that are very much against either guns as a whole or automatic weapons. Like it's obviously a hot button topic. So like, what do you think everyone should kind of learn how to deal with firearms? Because I've heard that view too.
I don't really know. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest, but I think a lot of people would benefit from knowing how to handle a gun. I don't think it's completely necessary for everybody to, and I think it would be kind of dangerous if everybody like had access to guns, because you can do a lot and they're not difficult to handle, but they're like difficult to know how to use in the right situations.
Yeah.
But I don't really know. That's a good question. I don't
Yeah,
know.
I mean,
What are your thoughts on
I don't know the answer either because it's such a complicated thing. I think that people are so divided on the topic, and I think it's important to recognize that there is a middle ground. There are definitely people that need guns, whether it's for their job, whether it's for protection. And I think there's also probably, a recreational use for it too. If done safely, whether it's hunting or going to the range, I think that's definitely people's right. I think, yeah, but like you said, I mean, it's a super, super powerful tool and it can be used the right way and it can be used the wrong way. I think probably the more people that you have with an education and understanding of how to use it correctly is probably a good thing. But as far as like the whole greater issue of gun control, I mean, I have no idea how to even begin to solve that.
No, it's a complicated issue. I think I was much more like about I always wanted to do like bow hunting. Like that was always my thing. But I feel like as soon as the idea of a gun thing came up, I was just like I had like bow hunting is one thing, but gun like they're on the same level. There's kind of different methods of being able to shoot. So I just kind of took the opportunity. Like
Yeah.
I would rather be able to be trained with a bow to like go hunt a deer or something like that than have be trained with a gun, because guns, I feel like in a hunting scenario especially, it's almost like it feels almost like too easy for me. Like I've never done it before, but if you compare like how much effort it takes to use a bow to hunt an animal compared to a gun, like a rifle, it's just like not even close.
No, I'm 100% there with you. I'd be interested in hunting too, but again, like you said, using a bow, I just think it's like a much more level playing field, and kind of the part of the interest between, for me and hunting, is kind of that more natural, like native, like you're hunting it and it's more of a level playing field, and it's something that ancestors have done for the longest time. I think that's cool, and when you add the gun into it. It kind of takes that like evolutionary ancestral element out of it, and
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
part of like the allure of hunting for me.
I think the big thing about bow hunting is you have to put in a ton of work to be able to do it. So it's like much more of a
Oh,
challenge.
it's like a Bryn Mawr drink.
Yeah.
Why does it smell like gas in here?
I don't know, dude.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, we're live again. But yeah, I like how bow hunting is like it's much more like you have to be really fit, and or in most cases you got to be really fit, and you have to actually know how to use a bow. Like you can't I used to shoot arrows in my backyard like with just like a kid's bow, and you really have to know how to aim like and actually pull it back and release it right. But
Yeah, it's not easy. And then, like you said, when you add the element of fitness, like you got to be able to control your breathing and slowing down, because the slightest little deviation is could be the difference between you hitting whatever your target is and
Exactly.
missing. So,
Yeah.
yeah, that's cool. I'd definitely we got to get into hunting together.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna do it with a gun. I don't know. I might try it with a gun and see how it goes, and then if I don't like it, switch.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I always thought about buying a bow, but they're expensive.
Yeah, they
definitely
are.
Expensive. But I mean, then again, so are guns. So I don't know.
Oh, that's cool.
Have you ever thought about getting a gun license or anything?
No, honestly, it's not something that I've really thought about an awful lot. I thought about kind of like, you know, going to the range or getting some sort of basic, I guess, say education or, you know, like low level training on kind of how to use one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something that I've ever felt like I needed or that I was really also either like super fascinated about. But I mean, it's just another thing. Like, I just love learning different stuff, so I'd be open to learning about it and trying it out for sure.
Have you thought about the military at all? Ever thought, like?
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, more so. And I guess this ties into the gun thing. So when I was young, I definitely was super interested in the military, special forces. Those are just some of the most like amazing people that our country produces, and the idea of being a part of that was always something that was really exciting for me. But I mean, and again, this could be part of the problem with the gun. One of the things that turned me away is my eyesight is like really, really bad. So I would have to assume that would be a major roadblock in learning how to shoot at a high level, which obviously would be essential for any sort of special forces or successful military career. But yeah, in more recent years, I haven't really thought about the military at all. I was thinking the other day, so you have countries like South Korea. Obviously, I'm a huge soccer fan. And so the recent example that got me thinking about it was Son, the guy from Tottenham Hotspurs. He had to take some time off from his team to go back and do his mandatory training and serving the South Korean army. So in South Korea, so in South Korea, everybody has to serve the army for a certain percentage of time. You don't have to see like live combat or anything like that. But it's just a mandatory service that I think all males, you know, it must be like 18 and above have to do. And I was curious, I don't know, I was just kind of thinking about whether or not that would be a good thing for the U.S. Because I think in some ways, there's so many people that are just so detached from what like veterans and people who serve in the military go through every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would almost, like obviously war is a horrible, ugly thing, but in some cases it may be necessary. And I think it would maybe do people good to go through some of that training and just get a look inside kind of like what these people are really sacrificing. But then obviously the flip side of the argument is that, you know, one of the great things about America is that you've got the right to do whatever the hell you want to do. So if that means having nothing to do with the military your whole life, I mean, I think that's a right too. So I don't know, I was kind of just playing with that idea in my head.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I had the opportunity to see and like live with people who Israeli soldiers. So like I was in Israel three years ago and during the summer. It's called I went on a birthright trip. It's like anybody who's Jewish gets to go.
Yep.
They give you a free trip. So I went with my sister, and part of the trip was like you go and we had like 10 Israeli soldiers come and stay with us for 4 days, and they're all like, when they said that to us, I was like, I was picturing like the typical like American soldier, like a David Goggins type, like those guys. But they come on the bus and it's like 18 to 20 year olds, like normal ass people, like very normal, like pretty girls, like normal dudes, athletic dudes, like nerdy dudes, like very normal people. But they're all very, one, fit, two, smart, and like just like very like they know how to speak well, they're like formal when they need to be formal, but also like can be relaxed. And it seems like, I don't know, I think it'd be great for the U.S. honestly. Like, I think if like there, it's like when you turn 18, you go to the military no matter what, unless you have like serious physical issues, then you go for, I think it's 2 years. And then their deal is like they do 2 years in the military, they take 1 year to travel, and then I think they either go to school or they go into the workforce or do whatever. But I think you're right, a lot of people are really detached like from like reality of like what is like important.
Yeah.
And that's why I like fitness and like the things that we do, like sports, because I think like putting yourself through something that's tough like brings you back to like the things that are important. Like, instead of worrying about, like, stuff that doesn't matter, it's like, it really brings you down to, like, right in front of you, like, what is actually important to do that's gonna, like, help you get through the next 30 seconds. Like, what steps can you take to do to be able to make it to the end of this workout, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's a big issue with like the way a lot of people view adversity. And I think one of the ways that you can just improve that mindset as a whole is like voluntarily putting yourself through adversity, whether it's at a small scale, doing the kind of stuff that we do, like physical adversity, or trying to learn a new skill, or just challenging yourself in some way that maybe you're a little uncomfortable, maybe it's not easy, maybe you do something you're not good at. And I think, yeah, I think a lot of people could do with experiencing more of that, and it would definitely benefit themselves, and I think it'd probably benefit all of us if we had more people that looked at adversity that way and, you know, just approached life that way.
But you are right about, like, the luxury of the US is the fact that we don't have to do that. So, I mean, it makes sense, like, the fact that we do have such a strong military and so many people who are, like, at the top of that level or at the top of that category of people, so they can protect the other people who aren't about that. It is definitely a nice thing, but it's like on the personal level, not it's I don't think it's the best thing, but on a whole large scale, it's probably more beneficial than not.
And well, that's the, that point too is the craziest thing in regards to people that choose to voluntarily go into that, right? Because they, no one's making them. There's no, you know, there's really no ulterior motive besides the fact that they want to, they're just choosing to serve the country, and that makes it even more impressive and special what those people do. So, got my full respect.
Yeah, for sure. I thought about doing it for a bit. Last summer, I was like, I took the practice exam, like, I was talking to recruiters and stuff like that. But the commitment of, like, 4 years kind of scared me away a little bit. I was like, I don't know if I can do that. But the reason that it sounds kind of selfish, but, like, I wasn't signing up for that, for, like, to help serve the country, honestly.
Yeah,
It
it's
was
more
I
like
was thinking more about
training and the.
personal, more it's more about, like, I think the structure of it would benefit me, like, not having just having a layout of, like, what I had to do every day. Like, I don't think I would like it, but I think it would benefit me because I just kind of thrive in those scenarios where I'm given a list of things to do and told to go do it. Especially when it's within, like, the realm of what the military does, like, within, like, fitness, like, leadership, all that stuff. But, like, I listen to Nick Bear, obviously.
Yep.
I was listening to one of his podcasts the other day, and he was talking about why he chose to be in the military, and he was saying, like, he wasn't sure exactly what he wanted to do, but he knew that if he joined the military, it would give him like a layout of the person that he wanted to be for the rest of his life. Like, those 4 years would kind of set a mold for, like, how he wanted to hold himself in, like, future adventures, which it makes sense. Like, it really does. I feel like it really does, like, change, like, kind of mold you into a different or a new person a
Yeah,
little bit.
definitely. I think, you know, if you really think about it, the US military is probably one of the best teams, organizations in the world, but also just of all time. So if you look at, you know, if you compare it to sports teams, corporations, different organizations, the amount of success they've had, not just in terms of, you know, like winning wars and things like that, but just the quality of the people that they've produced and the camaraderie and like the brother sisterhood that they've created, it's, you know, it's really hard to match. So I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but like for me, when I hear stories about guys like David Goggins or just these absurd trainings that they've been through, that is kind of what's always appealed most to me. As crazy as it sounds, like obviously the stuff that a guy like David Goggins has been through is super, super difficult, super unpleasant. Maybe no sane person would want to go through it after listening to it, but for some reason for me, I've just always thought like it would be so valuable to go through that, and it's got to change the way you look at things.
Yeah, definitely. It's like that mentality of just, like, do everything you can today that's possible, and there is no tomorrow. Like, I fuck with that mentality. But it's like, it's something that you can really only do if you have, like, one, like, 100% commitment to that mentality, and two, like, support from other people who are also on within that mentality, which is something that most guys in those positions that are, like, doing special forces training probably have. But
do you, yeah. when you say support, do you mean support from, like, their family to go and do it, or support once they get in there?
I mean,
from the guys around them.
I mean more like within, if you're in an environment where everybody's thinking that same thing, where it's like, fuck everything else, right now is what we got to do. Like, today is the only thing we need to worry about. Like, if it's 300 miles we have to do, like, that's all we need to worry about. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter if we die. Well, tomorrow doesn't matter. Like, if everybody around you is thinking that, then, like, so Mason, so how's the game? Yeah, I don't remember what I was saying.
I don't remember either.
Yeah, nah, it's all like the all-in mentality. I don't know, that's like really, that's appealing to me, definitely. But it's tough to do. Like, it's tough to do.
Yeah, that's why too. If for people outside of the military, you gotta find like-minded individuals. You gotta kind of mold the people that you're surrounded by to have, you know, whatever the kind of mentality that you want. Mm-hmm. To kind of help push you. That's something I'm trying to get better at. I think I'm starting to do that. And then you brought another point about it last week that I think is important, is then being willing to, like, bounce ideas off people and ask questions of people who are good at, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to learn about. So, like you said, if you're trying to learn about, you know, how to shoot a good video or how to edit a good video, Stoss may be a good person to ask, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's something that's kind of baked into the military already, because you've got people that are there for specific skills, and then you've also got a bunch of dudes that are just fucking badasses, like, ready to go with that mentality. But in life, you can try at least to kind of replicate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, important. Definitely. Yeah, I think in my experience, like, I've taken a crack at that mentality, and I kind of failed. Like, I definitely learned a ton from it. But I think the reason I failed is because I didn't seek out other people who were trying to get that mentality. I was kind of, like, solitary in that pursuit. But I think it's, like, a very fulfilling mentality when you're, like, when all that matters is today, and, like, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. It's just, like, you maximize what you do in a day, which is awesome in my opinion. But also, it's like you're risking everything, like your body, your well-being, your family, like if they care about you, like, yeah, everything. But it's just like a balls to the wall mentality, which is kind of cool. But I'm leaning more towards balance, like kind of balancing things, like definitely doing things that are like push yourself. At least once a day, just push yourself and really, like, go for things. But also, like, taking time to rest, taking time to, like, think about things, like, think about other people, like, do all that stuff instead of just focusing on, like, maximizing everything.
Yeah, I think if you do, you know, and like people always say, anything in moderation is a good thing, right? So whether it's pushing yourself physically or any sort of exertion, there probably is kind of an upper limit to a point where it stops being beneficial. And I think that upper limit varies from person to person. So for a guy like David Goggins, he may need to go run 30 miles every day to feel like he's doing what he has to do. For you and I, it might be, you know, getting a workout in at the track, doing abs, doing a complete, you know, hour to 2 hour workout, but then also doing something else.
Yeah, we're using it.
Oh, you're using it?
Yeah.
Oh,
tragic. That is a damn shame.
You can deal. yeah, definitely. Definitely. And that's changed a huge amount for me. Like, last summer, it was like, if I didn't get my workout in and, like, at least 5 miles, I was, like, feeling like shit. And that's, like, that's not good. Like,
yeah, that's not a good place to be.
I mean, like, now it's, like, I can do, today was a complete relaxing day. Like, I didn't I had a rough weekend or long weekend. I took today very easy. Like I did a little bit of work, probably an hour of work this morning, and then I kind of just hung out, watched TV, and like I took a nap, and then, but I got the workout in, and I feel great.
Yeah, that's, I think that's probably a more sustainable way to do it, and I
Definitely, definitely.
think that's the best option for most people. But on topic of balls to the wall, going all in, J. Cole trying to play in the NBA. What do we think? Is he serious about this? Could it happen?
I mean, after what you we talked about this earlier, and after what you said, I think you're right. Like, he is like a serious dude who, when he says things, he like usually is speaking the truth. So I agree with you that he will probably train like an NBA guy with the top trainers, top nutrition, top whatever, weightlifting or anything like that, and probably train with top athletes. But no, I don't think he's gonna be able to. A 35-year-old rapper who's hasn't played in the NBA before, I don't think he's gonna be able to compete, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard because we have no idea. It's definitely far-fetched. We have no idea even what his starting point was. Like
Yeah.
we don't have any film on this guy. We got no stats. He didn't play in college. Supposedly, he was gonna walk on to the team at St. John's, which is a pretty solid level D1 program. Coaches, I have seen a video clip where the coaches verified, like, yeah, we were gonna offer him a walk-on spot. But he ultimately turned it down to pursue the music thing. So that's like a reference point. So that would have been his sophomore year. When J. Cole talks kind of about it, so he wrote an article in the Players Tribune and talking about his own basketball level, at least at that college time, he says he was just basically all potential, tall enough, like 6'3", high motor, and then just kind of like that relentless drive that obviously saw him have success in music, business, stuff like that. But yeah, we have no idea really what this guy has was starting with in terms of skills. So to even try and close that gap, it's kind of impossible to project out what he can be. But it's so unlikely. 35, it's hard for a guy who's been in the NBA since he was 20 to still be in the NBA at 35. So to walk in fresh with no college, no European ball experience, no G League, nothing. It's gonna be difficult. The only thing that could be in his favor, and I don't think J. Cole would want a roster spot because of this, but you sign J. Cole, you're gonna sell tickets.
Definitely.
Whether you play him or not, that's gonna create a buzz. You know, like if he goes to a team like the Charlotte Hornets, hometown team, not getting a lot of love right now, J. Cole's, you sign J. Cole, local guy, you're probably packing out that stadium. Even if he's only getting in 2 minutes.
That is
You
a fact,
sell him
yeah.
into airball a three, crowd's still going crazy.
That's a fact, yeah. And I do think
And you get a free halftime performance.
it's true.
You leave him out
A
there.
good one too.
Yeah.
But I do think like it's in a rapper's nature to like project themselves and like make big claims. Like I don't think anything, no disrespect to J. Cole at all. I think he's like a top rapper and he's got a lot of songs that have like inspired me over the years, like no disrespect at all, but I don't know. I don't know. It's a bold move to try to join. Like the NBA is a different, it's a different level of ball,
Yeah, but like
of athleticism
I
overall.
think he knows that though. You know what I
Yeah, I mean
mean?
he must, yeah.
So, I'm a huge J. Cole fan, and I have a lot of respect for just the way he approaches life. And so, I've gotta from everything I know about him, I've gotta assume he's, you know, a level-headed dude. He's pretty realistic. If he was trash, I don't think he'd be coming out and be saying like, "I'm gonna try to do this." So, I don't know if he'll get there. I don't think anyone does, but I don't know. I'm interested to see, and I'm not ready to fully count him out yet.
Hey, I hope he makes it. I
Yeah, me
really
too.
do. Like, please do, J. Cole. I would love to see you out there on the Hornets
Bang bang a
playing
couple
with
threes.
Kemba. I'd love to see that. Yeah, but I'm doubtful, honestly. But good luck.
Right, so if it's not J. Cole, are there any other celebrities, rappers, whatever, that you could see doing well in a professional sport, just based off, it could be based off anything on a less serious note. So it could be looks, appearance, or maybe no, they've got some athletic talent.
The only guy that's coming to mind is he's not. I don't know if you can consider him a celebrity or not, but Usain Bolt, like his journey trying to play soccer.
Yeah.
I was rooting for him big time. Like I wanted to see that 9.6 speed on a soccer field big time. But I don't think it worked out. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen anything about him since, and that was a few years ago, I think.
Yeah, from what I know, I think he kind of gave up. But he was playing in, was it Australia? He got
I'm
a
not
contract
sure where it was.
Or some sort of contract in I want to say Australia. You should look that up, like Melbourne City or Perth, a team around that area. I don't know. I don't think it was like a permanent deal. He played a couple of friendly matches. He scored a goal. I think he scored two goals. Scored a little left footer and then a header. Because he's like 6'4", too. So that man's a threat on the back post.
Yeah, for sure.
He's probably a good jumper. So, yeah, I was kind of surprised it didn't work out. But I've also seen his touch, which made me less surprised it didn't work out.
I can't imagine his touch would be too good. Like, track guys never have good footwork. Because all they do is train to go in a straight line.
Yeah.
They don't know how to change direction. This says, Usain Bolt says he's done with soccer. It was fun while it lasted. But you're right about the Australian League.
Where is he playing? Central Coast Mariners. Okay. Yeah, let's pull up his goals. We should be able to find those. He scored like two goals in a friendly.
Like videos?
Yeah. Weird.
He looks like an avatar compared to
this
guy.
We got his full highlights. Yeah, he's a different breed. That's all, which another great
ball. He looks big. Damn.
Why didn't they give this man a deal? Like, he's dangerous.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow, all right. That was, like, quality. That was a quality finish. Through the legs.
Oh, I gotta update you about my latest soccer aspirations.
That's wild. Yeah, you seem nice. What you got?
So yesterday, I reached back out to the Cayman Islands FA Football Association about trying to play for the national team. Get in touch for World Cup qualifying in the fall.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't think I've ever talked about it. When I was at Worcester Academy during the prep year, so it must have been 2016 into 2017, I reached out, got in contact with, I think he was like the director of the Cayman Islands Football Association. Sent him basically just basic email the way you'd email, you know, like a college coach that you wanted to play.
Yeah.
Maybe a little highlight video or something. Got right back to me. He was going to be in touch about U18 training camp at the time and then also Olympic qualifying, which was under 23. So I started kind of going through the citizenship process. Had to fill out this form to, like, become a Caymanian citizen, even though I was born there. For whatever reason, since I left so early, I didn't still have Caymanian citizenship, so I had to submit that paperwork, get it done. And he was going to be in touch about Olympic qualifying, different camps coming up. And then the contact that I had been in touch with in the FIFA raid, the big FIFA raid conducted by like the U.S. government, it must have been FBI.
Yeah.
Or was it FBI? Which one's international? Whichever one's international. I think it was FBI.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, they got my guy for corruption. So he was like somehow funneling money and stuff. He was involved in the whole big Shit. FIFA scandal. So my contact got booted. And I had no one to talk to in the Cayman Islands FA. So I just went to school and kind of put it on the back burner.
This was last year?
This was all when I was at Worcester Academy.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of put it on the back burner. Just went to school, was doing my thing or whatever. Didn't paid a huge mind. I think I had reached out once in between, but I had the wrong email or something. Didn't send correctly. The Cayman Islands FAA website is pretty out of date, so it's difficult to get in touch. It's such a small island where I think a lot of it is probably just direct mail or word of mouth. Like, it's just a totally different culture. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get in touch. Fast forward to this past weekend, and my friend, who's Brandon Esker, avid soccer fan, was telling me about the new World Cup qualifying setup for CONCACAF, the region that, you know, U.S., Mexico, North America, and the islands all play in. And was like really kind of pushing me, like, hey, you should look back into trying to play for the Cayman Islands. Like, the stuff is coming up in the fall, like, classes are remote, you could head down there, you could do your classes, you could train. So I was like, oh, you're right. So I was able to look back into it, and then I reached out to a couple people, must have been yesterday. So hopeful, but not overly hopeful. I don't know if it'll even reach them, so I'm gonna give it a week or two on the email, and then I'll probably follow up, try to like print a CD with a highlight tape on it, like get that scanned on there. And if I don't hear back the email, I'm gonna send it right down to like the headquarters via direct mail, and I don't know, just give it a shot. Like,
that'd be awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing, like, a couple of their players play like low level in the United States, like college level, and then they have, I think, like a really small pro league in the Caymans that a lot of the players play on. A lot of the guys are around my age, so it seems pretty attainable, and it's like, what's the worst that could happen? They say no, or I don't hear back, and I just keep going as is. But
yeah, that's an awesome goal.
Yeah,
I know a kid who I can't remember the name of the island, but it's a really small, like similar to the Caymans, like that size of an island. And he like, I played with him in club. He was like solid player, like good athlete, but nothing like crazy, like nothing I would ever think would be like a pro level guy. And he's played for like at least did camps over the summer with the international team for this country. I can't remember the name of it.
But for a lot of those small islands, it's a lot more attainable than like we might think.
Yeah,
because a team like Cayman Islands, so for World Cup qualifying, for example, my friend was explaining the whole format to me, and I would probably butcher it if I tried to re-explain it, so I'm not going to. But, you know, in the most basic sense, Cayman Islands would have to play probably 3 or 4 games and win a good chunk of them to even advance to the point where they would be playing a country of the size of, you know, the U.S. or Canada or even a Jamaica. So, you know, it's not like I'm sending this email thinking I'm going to be lacing up against Christian Pulisic next week. But yeah, I mean, it's worth a shot, and it'd just be a kind of a fun thing to say I was able to do. It's once in a lifetime experience.
Yeah, I can't imagine that would be a bad experience. That sounds awesome. I would say the biggest thing that's been working for me well in the past few weeks, just like trying to figure out stuff about firefighting and like talk to the right people, is just like sending, like finding all the people that you can talk to and just sending emails. Like, doesn't like. Don't just send one email, like spread your wealth out, like try to hit up different people and see, because one person might be, this happened to me, I emailed one police chief or one fire chief at Norwood. He sent me back like a short shitty email that gave me no information, sent the same email to the next guy, and he gave me like all this great information, like really, really nice guy.
So how'd you find these people to reach out to?
Just looking online, like do your research, like talk to the right people, like
That's awesome. I agree with that. I've had kind of the same approach in my job search. So as I wrap up internship with Liberty, I'm starting to think about like full-time stuff for, you know, the following year. You know, we're getting old, so we're getting to that point where you want to have somewhat of an idea of what you want to do. And usually I'm not typically the best about planning ahead like that. So I would never typically be thinking about full-time opportunities like a year in advance like this. Mm-hmm. But the way the Liberty Mutual program works out is after the completion of the internship, I think around September, they start to get back to the interns in terms of whether they'd be interested in having them back for full-time. So that kind of prompted me to start looking into full-time stuff. And I've been doing what you said, like just looking online at companies that seem cool, and then just big one for me has been like blasting it out to Bridgewater alum, just emails like, hey, I see you work here, you also attended Bridgewater, and just kind of connecting that way. And that's been, like you said, some people won't respond, then some people who respond really are no help, but for every, you know, no you get, there will be a couple people that really go out of their way to kind of answer some questions and help you out. So
yeah,
that's what I found too.
Yeah, I really like doing that, honestly. Like, it's a great feeling when you, like, you, I'll try to do sometimes, I'll sit down and say, like, okay, I'm gonna do, like, a half hour of just emailing people, like, whatever it is I'm trying to do, and then, like, it's a great feeling get the next day just, like, getting answers.
Yeah.
Like, from that 30 minutes. Like, I like that you kind of get results. Sometimes you don't, but sometimes you do.
Yeah, it's kind of like that what if factor. I agree.
Yeah. Like, you could email somebody and they could shut you down, or they could, like, offer you a job, like, right off the bat. Like, you never know what's going to happen.
Do you want to talk about, so we were talking a little bit today about kind of starting a little bit more of, I guess, of like a structured podcast, kind of starting our own, where it'll be you and I as kind of like the, I guess we'll call it, like, quote unquote main characters, kind of running the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then bringing in different guests. We're still obviously in the planning phase, but do you want to talk about kind of some of the ideas that we have for it, and where you might see that going in the future?
Yeah. So I think it's a good idea to have, like we could, I would, every week, if we just did this, me and you, I would be fine with it. Like, I have fun doing this, but I think if we added in an X factor of, like, I'm thinking mostly athletes, but it could be, like, any discipline, like, anything really, like, I don't know, a writer or, like, a movie maker or something like that. Like, I'm interested in those things too.
Yeah.
But I was thinking start off with an athlete, because we kind of both have that background. We can kind of incorporate the training thing with it too, because I really think like that, like, training with somebody kind of, like, ignites the flame a little bit, and then you have, like, a base almost. So, like, if we were to pick somebody, like, that we want, that was, take the kid that I was talking about on the baseball kid that I was talking about that just transferred to Iona, like, if he took us along on one of his training things and we, like, watched him run through it, we did it ourselves, it, like, gives us a lens into, like, what he does, and not, like, we get to see the action before we even get to hear the words that he's using to talk about that action.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and we were talking about too, we'd be able to kind of record that, so you could see us mm-hmm. going through that process. You could see, you know, the different people that we talk to kind of doing what they excel at and what they're passionate about, which is also cool. I think anytime you see someone doing what their passion is, that's a cool thing, and it kind of inspires me. It just makes me want to go work on whatever my thing is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that'll be cool for people, and yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, it'll kind of spark that curiosity in us, and also just kind of start that initial connection, so then when we do sit down and talk to them, it'll maybe come a little bit easier, and we'll have an idea of where we want to go with stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think, what do you think about, like, when everything's said and done, where would you see everything being put? Like, for me, the one thing that I've struggled with is, like, putting things out there. Like, I don't know if I want to put my, like, the first podcast we did, I posted it on Instagram,
yep.
And I told everybody to look at it,
yeah.
And I was, like, I was happy with that, because I was happy with that podcast, and I didn't really care that if people saw it or not, but these ones, I'm more, like, I don't know if I want to project that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think we can decide as we go, so I kind of talked to you about, like, we can just bang a ton of them out and have that content in the vault ready to go.
Yeah.
And then it's really up to us how we want to release it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more we, like, I mean, you don't want to plan the conversation and ruin the natural flow, but the more we kind of have a structure of where we want to go with things in terms of the overall podcast, I think we'll start to make better podcasts the more we do them. And I think that'll probably be something that we're more eager to put out to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for me, especially once we get it to a point where we feel like, yeah, like, that's cool, I'm happy with that final product, I view it as something like, yeah, I'd love to blast it out to people and, you know, see what they think. Because,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, for me, I love listening to podcasts, whether it's the big ones like Joe Rogan or it's small ones that, you know, other kids from my town have done. I think it's interesting just to hear all the different perspectives, and hopefully, you know, if we do a good job, there'd be people that would be interested in hearing what we have to say too.
Yeah. That's what I'm kind of thinking about, like, as we're talking, like, would anybody that I know actually want to listen to what we're saying right now? Like, I would hope so, but I really have no idea.
Well,
And it's tough to judge.
right now maybe not, but I think if we planned it out a little bit, like I think what we'd have to do, right, is we'd have definitely bring in a guest in. We'll liven it up a little bit, just like it did with Stoss. Like once Stoss joined the conversation, I thought the whole energy of it kind of picked up. And then the other piece is, I think we need to do a little bit better job. Or not even a better job, because we just haven't done it at all in the past. In the past, the way we've done it, we've just come in and just kind of let it rip. Like maybe you had a few ideas in your head. I usually had none in my head, and we just kind of go, which is cool because it makes it natural, and
Yeah, spontaneous.
we don't want to lose that feel.
Yeah.
But I think you also want to have an idea of four or five topics that you have in your back pocket that you can go to keep it flowing, and that you know people. Or that you at least think people want to hear about.
Yeah. So give me an example of what you're thinking about. So say we like say we took that baseball kid. Like, how would you go about planning out things you want to ask him? Like, would you have to know personal things about him, or are you thinking more like broad ideas? Like, for example, the thing what I asked JD, like, what is, I said, what has changed to you? Like, that's the most broad question you could go with. Like, would you want to do something like that broad, or do you want to be more specific to that person specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you want to mix. So the more we're able to do it with people that we either know some stuff about or we can find stuff about, I think that's good. Because you can kind of ask some of those little bit more interesting questions that you know will relate to them.
Yeah.
So, and that's where some thought comes into it. So like, you know, with your baseball friend, you would probably do more of that kind of back research in terms of like, you know, what would kind of make them tick, or what would make this interesting. So I think that would be cool. And then in terms of just making it a good structure, I think basically a good way, I think we're gonna want some structure in terms of the way that we like end the interviews. So it could be something kind of funny maybe, where like, I don't know, we could mix in like a couple funny questions or something, or something that people are interested, some more lighthearted stuff. So we could maybe do something towards the end where we ask a couple questions about, you know, personal interests, music, stuff like that that everyone can kind of relate to. And then maybe last question can be something a little bit cooler, a little bit deeper, like the one you did with JD, like what does change mean to you? With your baseball friend, it could be the same question, or it could be, you know, like what does passion mean to you? And maybe you'll talk about baseball or something else that he's passionate about. But I think that would be a good format if we had like three or four questions that we run through at some point that are like a little bit more lighthearted. Some of them could have like a little comedy aspect, and then maybe mix in like the music, because I mean pretty much everybody likes music.
Yeah, for
So get a
sure.
little insight into like what music people like, maybe two other quick kind of like rapid fire questions, and then end on like one of those deeper ones.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like
I think
the
that'd be cool.
I like the mix of lighthearted and
Yeah.
also deeper stuff. But I think I did like ending that conversation with JD on a more like deeper note. I thought it summed like the whole conversation up well. But yeah, the just some questions like that would be good. Like, I was just thinking, like, off the top of my head, like, if you had to choose right now, like, a business to start, what would you do? Like, just like have them
Yeah.
make them think, like, off the top of their head.
We should start like a Google Doc or something.
Yeah, we
And
can
just
do that.
pound like some general questions out there that we think are good,
Yeah, for
just to
sure.
have them involved, and then we can always
Yeah, I'll do that right now.
revert back to those.
Something that Tim Ferriss does that I've been listening to, I listened to him, I don't know why, but I was listening to him talk with a master chess player. Like, I don't know how the fuck I found it, but it just happened. And this happened with LeBron too when he interviewed them. Like, he pulled out, he says, his line is, you know, I like to do my homework before I have people on my show. Like, I did a little background research and I found this. And it's just like he pulls something crazy out of his back pocket, and the people are like, "How the fuck did you know that?" So he clearly does his background
Yeah.
research big time. What's your email?
Shane Ebanks. 989 at Gmail. Word. This is gonna be, this one right here is gonna be a classic when we're famous on Spotify. We'll release it.
For sure, dude.
From the Lost Files. How it all got jumped up.
Hell yeah. It'll be good to have. Speaking of Spotify, did you listen to the podcast from us and Stas on Spotify, or is it on Anchor?
Spotify.
Okay. It just takes a little bit to upload, and I didn't know how long exactly. Yeah. But
we're on Spotify.
I love that app. Like, Anchor is so cool how it does everything. Like, it posts everything.
Yeah, so how does it... It just disperses them out to all, like, the main places where people listen to podcasts?
Yeah. I don't think it does Apple Music. Oh, okay. But it definitely does Spotify. I don't have it up right now.
I got you.
But it does Spotify, and then Google Play, and then a bunch of other smaller ones. Like, I think it's, like, Stitcher and a few other ones.
Okay, cool.
But it's very easy to use.
Yeah, I think if you're on Spotify, you're probably...
That's, like, probably 50% good. Of the yeah. listeners out there, so... Yeah. Yeah. Word.
All right, we probably don't need to record. Yeah. Do you want to try and bang out some questions or something?